Hi, I'm Ankush. I'm the founder of Eventable.com, the world's first review platform, and you're listening to the Building Awesome Events podcast. Our guest today is the totally awesome and very brilliant Lindsay Cohen, Director of Event Marketing at Sneak. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Our pleasure, Lindsay. And you know, before we just start, for people wondering, did I just say that right? Is it Sneak? S-N-Y-K?
It is. It stands for So Now You Know.
Oh, wow. That's, yeah, I didn't know that, but now I know, yeah. So, Lindsay, you know, let's move along into the show. I have a bunch of questions for you. On this podcast, you know, we try and stick to the event marketing theme. It's a podcast made for event marketers to get insights, you know, from their peers, you know, learn a little bit about, you know, what's been working, you know, and try and apply some of those ideas to their own, you know, to their own set. So the first question for you, Lindsay, is really how you got into event marketing. You know, I was taking a look at your LinkedIn profile earlier and, you know, seeing some of the jobs that you've been working. And it looked to me that your earlier roles seemed to be sort of more traditional marketing roles. And then you made a pivot into events. Is that right? Or, you know, have you always been?
I've actually always been in event marketing. I think some of my earlier roles had more broad titles for sure. And I definitely had a wider scope of responsibilities, but events were always part of my kind of marketing scope of responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I honestly, this may sound a little cheesy, but I have been in events for as long as I can remember. I grew up in a family that loved hosting all of our family events and mm-hmm. friends events in our neighborhood. Wow. I grew up with a love for hosting yeah. and gathering and cooking and entertaining yeah. in general. It was a pretty obvious fit that yeah. that's what I wanted to do, which is not traditional from an events yeah. perspective. And I went to college to study hospitality management mm-hmm. with that event marketing kind of focus.
Yeah. Wow. I think it just all seems so perfect. Like you were cut out to do events and event marketing right from the start. And, you know, I'm trying to think what I was doing, you know, that brought me to marketing, you know, maybe writing. You know, I always loved writing and, you know, sharing. Yeah. Yeah, you know, making a little of these kiddie newspapers and sharing them with people in the neighborhood and stuff. Right.
Yeah, so, I love that.
Yeah. So I think there's something in all of our pasts, right? That really has a little bit of a pointer as to what you're going to be good at.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's, I think what inspires you as a child definitely yeah. plays into what you end up spending most of your adult life doing for yeah. your professional life. At least if yeah. you do it right, in my opinion.
Right, right. Amazing. So Lindsay, you know, next up, outline for me, you know, just a little bit what Sneak's event strategy and portfolio look like in terms of, you know, the proprietary and third-party mix. And what are the large, like, you know, 30,000 foot view of the corporate objectives, you know, behind this mix?
Sure. Yeah. So Sneak is a tech company. It's not too old, but we're definitely not necessarily a little startup anymore with mm-hmm. just about 1,500 employees now wow. globally. Yeah. So our event strategy has evolved significantly as the company's mm-hmm. experienced hypergrowth in the past years. Yep. And so really, when I think about it at a high level, there's kind of two arms of the strategy. So the third party side of our portfolio was mm-hmm. the kind of core backbone that we were built on. Mm-hmm. We sponsor and exhibit and speak at a variety of events. Mm-hmm. Sneak is a little bit unique in the fact that we market to both the security audience and the developer yep. audience. Mm-hmm. So we have a strategy from a third party perspective towards both of those audiences. And then on the other side is our proprietary event portfolio, which mm-hmm. started just 3 years ago, honestly. We created what we call our annual conference mm-hmm. called SneakCon. Mm-hmm. That was started in 2020 during right. COVID, which was wow. obviously a very ambitious yeah. part of our marketing team. This yeah. preceded my joining the organization. Mm-hmm. I was actually interviewing with them when they created it, but wow. they set out to really kind of make a splash in the developer right. security space, and they did just that. So mm-hmm. luckily for me, I was able to inherit a really kind of strong event when I started shortly thereafter, and have been now growing that year over year accordingly. And then coming out of SneakCon last year in the fall of 2021, with the success of it, we decided as a business that we needed more. We couldn't wait to do that once every year. So we have been building out our proprietary events portfolio by creating a series of other proprietary events on a smaller scale.
Right.
And rolling them out this year in a program we called Sneak Week, which is, it's essentially a global roadshow. So we're taking over six cities for a week at a time. There's a lot of brand activations and brand awareness that goes into it. But these events are kind of the core components of what happens in those cities each week.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that so what does the scale look like in terms of numbers, you know, in terms of roadshows or the events that you sponsor? What are some of the numbers that you're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, all in, if I'm combining the proprietary and third party side, we're easily going to be sponsoring like upwards of 100 plus events, as well as the ones that we're hosting. And that doesn't really take into account the smaller adjacent events that we plan around the larger third party ones. So the team has a lot on their hands and they are executing very, very well considering. Yeah. And it's been fun, a wild ride, but very fun.
Wow. And so tell me a little bit now, you know, you mentioned the team. Tell me a little bit about the team. You know, what does the composition look like? How large is the events team? And really what, you know, where do you pull in the support functions from?
Yeah, so we are a team of seven strong, including myself now. We have one person leading SneakCon, the annual conference, another leading the Sneak Week program, so the rest of the proprietary event portfolio. And then on the third party side of the business, we have three individuals, one that focuses on developer community events specifically, and the other to share the globe, if you will, from a security events perspective. And then our final player is really kind of the glue that holds it all together. She's our event operations manager, and she has helped the team really scale up how we stand these events up and how we work with all of the cross-functional partners internally.
Give her a shout out. I mean, what's her name?
Jen Shears. She is she's a rock star. I've had the pleasure of working with her previously as well. And so it's great to, you know, have that relationship base and know that she can come in, hit the ground running and really scale us. She's been here for just over 3 months and it's impressive to see how she's enabled our team to really grow that quickly. But from an event standpoint, I mean, I think no stranger to all other companies I've worked in or for anyone else in the industry, we work with so many teams across the organization. So I think of all of marketing as our extended team, but specifically our demand gen function and our marketing ops function and our regional marketing teams, I would say are the ones that work mostly with us on an everyday basis. Everything from procurement and legal to finance, we are very tight with most of the Sneak team globally.
That's great to hear. That's really great to hear. Well done, Team Sneak, and well done, Jen. That was the name, right? Jen. So, and, you know, I'm going to come back to the team in a while, but for now, you know, I have to come to this mandatory question, especially given, you know, what we've been through in the world. We are now a couple of years into the whole virtual events scenario. So what did you learn from this and how would you now view a virtual strategy versus an in-person strategy? And, you know, what's your go-to and for what reasons?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think there was already a shift towards virtual events being a very realistic part of this industry before COVID was anywhere near us. So the fact that COVID hit us so out of left field, I think it really forced this industry to accelerate on a lot of fronts. And, you know, change is hard, but change also can be really good. And from my perspective, it wasn't an easy road from the kind of abrupt nature of it. But at the same time, it was happening anyway. So we just had to adjust to it much quicker. I think more than anything, what I've learned throughout the companies I've worked with during COVID is you can't kind of rest on your laurels with your strategy for virtual. It's a constantly changing beast. And know, being experimental, knowing that you're going to have to kind of be super nimble from one event to another, and some technique.
And I think, you know, also because when we started out with virtual events, there was a lot of excitement. You know, everybody was like, yay, we're going to sit at home in our pajamas, and now we're going to Zoom, you know, and watch all this cool stuff. And then came the Zoom fatigue, you know, and then, you know, you had to really tide over and fight all that Zoom fatigue, right?
Yeah, it's real. And you know what? I think it will level out at some point as we now are going back to in-person events. Mm-hmm. But I don't think virtual is going anywhere. And I talk about this often with the team, but hybrid is the obvious kind of way of the future. We have to cater to both audiences. We have to expect that we're not going to get everyone we used to get in person to want to return for their own personal reasons, the ease of not traveling, whatever it may be. And so really trying to understand what hybrid means to us as a business. And I don't think that that is a universal rule of thumb. I think we are adapting hybrid event to event for us. So some of our proprietary events, they are fully in person, but they are hyper-regionalized in order to accommodate. And for the larger event like SneakCon, we're doing global activations on a hyper-regionalized scale while still maintaining a global virtual presence. So it's a fine balance, and I encourage everyone to kind of keep testing what works and what doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, I think hybrid can be tough, you know, creating especially an immersive experience, both for virtual and in-person at the same time can be very challenging, is the feedback I've gotten.
Yeah, it's planning two events that need to overlap to some degree at the same time.
And, you know, the natural question that then that follows, Lindsay, is that, you know, when we started off with virtual, you know, you would have come across a gamut of solutions. And, you know, someone told me recently there are more than 300 virtual tech platforms, virtual event platforms, you know, which are in the market now. So was that something, and, you know, I know we don't really have to name specific, you know, vendors here, but how did you really make the choice? How did you narrow down? What was the process of, you know, picking the right platform for your needs?
Yeah, you know, at the time when we went to RFP ahead of our annual conference, SneakCon, for 2021, we had a pretty robust scope of work that we knew we needed to fit the bill of. And it was very much a focus on that one event and that one iteration of the event, knowing it would evolve over time, but not knowing how it would evolve yet. So I think making the best decision with all of the cards that you know in front of you is all you can hope for. But the one kind of add-on there that we were very cognizant of is we do want a platform that is evolving and that can grow with us. So understanding kind of the organizations that we're going to bid for RFP, where are they in their life cycle? Are they in a similar stage of hypergrowth? Can they accommodate this? Or are they going to kind of plateau right now where they are? So that was an important piece for us at the time. And I think now it's very much trying to understand the hybrid nature and what solution won't fit every need that we have, but what will fit the majority of the needs, and how we can layer on additional smaller techs to supplement here and there.
And, you know, would you say you're happy overall with the solution that you're using now? Have they really been growing, you know, hitting all your requirements?
Yeah, you know, for sure. I think we went into it very much looking like a partnership, and we've had a very open line of communication, which is always what I would strive for with any vendor. So the more we grow, the more they've grown, and vice versa. But we definitely, you know, need to continue to see what's out there and continue to know that every event portfolio is changing now that in-person is coming back. So
And do you give them feedback that, you know, these are some of the features that you might want, or, you know, your networking, which seems to be broken with every platform, can be better?
Yeah, for sure. I made it a point to spend a significant amount of time after our annual conference last year sitting with not only our account team and giving feedback, but then getting connected to the product team internally to say, here's what worked, what did it, and what I've seen work better.
Right. So I think that's really good feedback, Lindsay, for anyone tuned in, listening, you know, how to really pick the right platform, how to deal with them, you know, once you, you know, bought and made the purchase decision. That's some valuable inputs over there. Now, Lindsay, I'm going to come back to the larger team that, you know, you work with, the larger marketing team, the demand gen team. My next question is, you know, in terms of traditional marketing, really, and this is the marketing part of event marketing, how do you really create awareness for your proprietary events? What are the channels that you think work best around audience acquisition? And, you know, as you mentioned, this is a cross-functional activity. And how involved are you with this? So just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, the marketing of events is for sure a team sport, I like to say. We are very fortunate to have such a wide array of skills across the marketing organization that we partner with. So, you know, someone from the campaigns team within demand generation, shout out to Sarah Wills. She is a full rock star as well. And she has really partnered with the events team to be able to scale up what that promotional cycle and plan looks like. Everything from like a bottoms up strategy channel by channel to actually the execution of all of those moving parts. And it is no small feat. So I think, you know, there is no magic bullet. Like it's never going to be the same thing event over event. But what we have seen is, you know, trusting in your own database.
Yeah.
People that have opted into your database have opted in for a reason. So really nurturing that and not abusing it. We also have experimented a lot with, you know, third parties. Mm-hmm. So which other media organization, partner organizations are the right target audience that can be an extension of our database.
Okay.
And then lastly, I mean, really empowering our sales and customer success teams. So kind of the whole go-to-market function of the business.
Yeah.
Empowering them with content and an understanding of what the value add of these events are to go out to their contacts, at our customers, at our prospects, in the community.
That's really interesting. I think the last part that you mentioned, empowering your sales team with the content. So give me an example of that. How, you know, what kind of content do you exactly, you know, send their way to share out?
Yeah. So we go as far to write like suggested invite copy. And it is just that it's meant to be adapted and personalized from rep to rep. But here's kind of the basics of like what the value proposition is for why someone would want to attend this.
Right.
And we do it based off of the persona. So we kind of get down to this level of a security executive versus this level of a developer that's more of our practitioner end user. Right. Here's why it's important for them so they can highlight sessions and speakers that they may be interested in hearing from very granular. And that's been working. I mean, I think it's that person-to-person relationship that really helps the conversions to registration.
Absolutely. Lindsay, next, you know, and this is something that, you know, now comes naturally because you've been giving all these shout outs to members of your team, you know, and I love that. It really is a team sport.
Yeah.
You know, so next up, I really wanted to ask Lindsay, if somebody wants to join your team, what are some of the key attributes you would be looking for? So let's talk a little bit about the culture in your team, in your company.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one of the reasons that, and probably one of the main reasons for that matter, that I joined Sneak to begin with was the culture. Every person I interviewed with in the process was so genuine and so smart. And I knew I would not only enjoy working with them, but learn from them and be pushed by them to be a stronger marketer myself.
Yeah.
So when I was building the team now, I think it was really thinking, you know, Sneak is a still kind of startup mentality. So we're going to move really fast. We're going to wear a lot of hats and we're not going to necessarily have a roadmap of how to do all the things we're going to do. So that kind of adaptiveness and really the ability to understand the full picture and still be able to execute on the minutiae.
Yeah.
That to me is like the real triple threat of like, you can do it all. I know you can plan an event. I know operationally, logistically, most event managers are in this for a reason. That's who they are by nature. But are you nimble? Are you creative? Are you adaptable? Are you outgoing so that you know you can find the right person internally that can help you with what you're trying to achieve, especially knowing that I work for a globally fully distributed organization. So I think that, and really just people that understand the business and want to really make exciting events. I think it's been fun the past couple of weeks. I was able to get the entire team together in Boston for what we call small hands. And the energy of the seven of us together in a room kind of walked away from that small hands, looking at each other and saying, let's go plan some really cool events together. Like it's what we love to do. And we're fortunate that we get the creativity and the space to do what we like doing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love that you mentioned creative, nimble, and outgoing. I look for these attributes myself. And, you know, it's, you don't come across, you know, all three of them together very often.
Of course,
You know, and my instinct also would be to jump at the person, you know, when you do.
Right. For sure, you know.
Finally, Lindsay, you know, coming to our final question for this podcast today, you know, and we've spoken about this a little bit, that we are the world's first review platform. And our goal really is to help event marketers further their brands through the power of social proof and community marketing, you know, because we live in a review economy today. And what used to be a word of mouth earlier is probably an online review today. In your parents' time, you know, they would ask people for help and suggestions, and, you know, nobody has the time to do that. So, which is why we started Eventable, because we thought the events industry could do with a review platform where people could, you know, read peer reviews before making a participation decision, right? And on the other side, event organizers can also then tell their audiences that our attendees genuinely love us and they're expressing all this love on a neutral third-party platform. Mm-hmm. So what does social proof mean to you? How important is social proof in your arsenal? And do you really think that your attendees care about it?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, as an individual outside of my professional work life, I still rely on word of mouth for most things that I do, and that's kind of social proof. Yeah. So I think about it on a very individual basis as I'm the person in my family and circle of friends that people come to as to which restaurant to go to.
Yeah.
And for me, they're not going online to Yelp anymore. They're asking someone in their circle that they know and trust, which I love, because that's something I love to give recommendations on. And I think I know enough about the food and restaurant industry to cater it to the person asking.
Right.
And the same is applied to work. I think when we're looking at these events, it's very much an influential kind of word of mouth that we're hoping to get. So one of the tactics, if you will, that we use in marketing a lot is, you know, we have Jane Smith in our database that has obviously opted in and is interested in Sneak events.
Yeah.
Well, when we email Jane to tell her to come to Sneak Week coming up, we tell Jane, invite your team, invite your friends, because it's going to sound better coming from you anyway, if we're being honest.
Yeah. And we're doing some cool stuff now. I think a couple of weeks back, we actually started taking in, you know, what we call micro audio reviews, you know, like 20 second reviews of people actually talking about the events that they attended. Right. And, you know, it's been amazing to just see that come through. It was just an idea. We just put in a record button on our survey form that we send out, and people actually started clicking on that and talking about what they enjoyed about the event. And we are now thinking of making it embeddable for event organizers.
Right? Very cool.
Yeah. So we're excited about it. And I'm happy that, you know, you identify with the concept of social proof as well.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that's about it, Lindsay. Thanks a lot for taking the time today. You know, this is all the time that we really had today. We like to keep it crisp and short so people don't really, you know, tune out.
Absolutely. You know, Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And, you know, we hope to do this again soon. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you.